The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, you will live for a very long time as an ancestor spirit or demon, because there's nowhere else for you to go. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" Think about it. Why should you go to heaven if you don't believe heaven exists? So you just got to hang around on earth until the end comes. And that might mean that you end up in the coffin with your corpse, fully conscious, unable to do anything, or in the oven of the crematorium. Or maybe you'll get a ride on some other human being. Really not the way to end one's life. If, on the other hand, you're a believer but you don't have any form of relationship with the Father, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, the trash heap of heaven. For Father has said concerning you, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" Again, think about it. Why should you feature in heaven when you've made no effort in this life? So you could end up in the trash heap, fully conscious, cold, dark, black, horrible place, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, forever and ever and ever. Is that what you want? Tonight's program is part three of the series, "The True Name of the Creator is Yah." That's Y-A-H, Yah. The Almighty has said, "If you love me, you will call me by my true name." All of this is in the context that the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Looking at an overview of tonight's broadcast, we look at the true name of the Almighty in the Bible in more detail. There is a degree of duplication in this episode relative to the first episode, but it seems important to me to reinforce the message on some key points. We look again at the Lord being a translation of Baal, a blasphemous name. We look again at God being another blasphemous name, and then that Jesus is yet another blasphemous name. And further, we will see again that Christ is a meaningless word that is generally wrongly interpreted. The question will then be posed, do you love Father enough to change? We then look at the consequences of failing to change and pose the question, what do you choose to do? We will then look in detail at names including Yah, and particularly the name Yahushua. You may know him as Jesus. We will close by posing some questions about your relationship with the Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for about 25 years, and more recently a business executive and consultant in the United Kingdom. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Questions from last week's program. Sam asked, in what religion is he known as Yah? I was talking to a few different people from different religions, and they've not heard him called that! Exclamation mark. Well, that shows how successful the satanic and demonic realm have been in causing human beings to lose sight of the name of the Creator. The thing to remember is that when Noah and his sons came out of, and their wives came out of the ark, they all knew the true name. But over the centuries, over the millennia, things have happened to cause people to forget, cause people to mask it. So we've got to a point now where almost nobody knows the true name. And so you will find. You can talk to any number of different religions and denominations, etc., and they've not heard him called that. But as we're going to see tonight, his name is embedded, that name, Yah, is embedded in the book called the Bible, in the names of literally around 100 different people and other words. Benjamin asked, were you seeking God when you were in that locked room, or did he just come to you without you even trying? Well, he came to me without me trying, but I believe my parents and others were praying for me. I was seriously considering suicide, and I was in a pretty desperate position. I'd been up all night running strategic processes, trying to understand what had gone wrong with my life. And so when he spoke to me, I was very open, very receptive, and I paid attention because he spoke to me as clearly as you can hear me now. Grace says, I was told with meditation I could not be close to him. Meditation clouds my judgment. I've never heard that. I think it depends what you're meditating on, but if you're meditating on Father, if you're meditating on his principles, on his commandments, on his love, I cannot see that there's anything wrong with that. I would say that I think that verbal praise and worship is probably more powerful in many respects. But if you get quiet and listen to Father, or if you are seeking to hear him, then by all means, there's nothing wrong with that. Rapoto says, so saying GD, God damn, is not a bad thing because God is not his name. Well, firstly, Rapoto, God damn means pretty well nothing because you're not calling on the Creator, as you say. But I certainly wouldn't use that. I don't think you should be damning anybody. I don't think you should be damning any situation. I don't think you should be cursing at all, because cursing is a form of murder. So I certainly wouldn't say God damn under any circumstances. And if your intention is that you're expecting the Almighty to damn that person, I think you'd be in not a very good position when you come to the Day of Judgment. Fallon asked, so you don't read the King James Version? Well, that's not really the correct inference. I have a King James. I have a New King James. I have about 20 different translations of the Bible, and I've read many of them. I've read the Old Testament about 20 times in numerous translations. I've read the New Testament about 35 times in even more different translations. But I stopped doing that in about 2001 when Father said to me that the Bible was just a book and was not his word. So as I've said before, the Bible is a useful historical document. It gives us exposure to the lives of various anointed ones through the centuries. And the most important thing you can do with that is to read about the lives of these anointed ones and say, Father, I would like to come to a place where I have a deep relationship with you and where I can do mighty works. I don't think that you should be trying to emulate some of the anointed ones who went around and killed lots of people, etc. That's not the point. The point is that under the anointing, they were able to do mighty exploits. You can seek such an anointing to do mighty exploits for peace and for Father and to turn people to him, turn people to his true name and so forth. So just a recap, we're looking at the true names of the Almighty in the Bible. Based on an article written in 2010. And in 2010, I wrote about 10 years ago, the Almighty started to deal with me about a wide variety of issues. One of these was his true name. I quickly encountered teachings which stated that his name was Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, and based on a fairly widely used transliteration of the Hebrew, YHWH, which occurs over 5,000 times in the books of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, the so-called Old Testament. As he led me further, I discovered that this word was more accurately transliterated as Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, and that it was more accurately translated as Yah, the eternally self-existing. From this, I came to understand that the essential name of our Almighty Creator, our Father in Heaven, was Yah. And from there, I discovered that there were well over 100 names and words in the Bible that contained the name Yah in the Hebrew, although completely lost in the traditional English translations. For example, the name we know as John is actually Yahuchanan, which means Yah has graced. Coming back to the Lord, Baal, a blasphemous name, it turns out that the English phrase, the Lord, would be a good translation of Baal, the god of sexual immorality, that is referred to throughout the Bible. Baal is a demonic mastermind. 1 Kings 18 verse 19 says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Thus not only have men concealed the name of the Almighty, they have substituted it with the blasphemous name of a demonic deity. How great is the love of our Father in heaven that he has answered our prayers in this name. This alone should be sufficient reason for you to change your use of language on this front. To better understand how Yah feels about this, consider Hosea 2:17. For I will take away the names of the Baalim, the Lord, out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. This points to the need for heartfelt repentance and deliverance from that which has oppressed one through the use of this name, as well as humble petition to Almighty Yah to break the covenant with Satan that may have come into place as a consequence. Really important to understand this, folks. The grace for the use of these wrong names was withdrawn starting in 2000 and culminating in 2003. This is why so many powerful men and women of those times have fallen away. God, another blasphemous name. Then, to make matters worse, it turns out that God, or Gawd, G-A-W-D, or Gad, is the Babylonian god of luck and good fortune, referred to in Isaiah 65:11. But ye are they that forsake Yah, the eternally self-existing, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for Gad, or God, that troop, fortune, and that furnish the drink offering unto Mani, that number, fate. There are screenshots of this text in the article on the website. So we see that we should remove God from our vocabulary, as well as repent and seek forgiveness for our sin, and seek to be set free from all that is oppressing us as a consequence of our error, including possible covenants with Satan. Folks, it's so important to understand these names, the Lord, Baal, God, Gad, Gawd, Jesus, all blasphemous names, all the names of high-ranking demons. And what's happened is over the millennia, the demonic realm, the satanic realm, have tricked human beings into using these names and thereby giving honor and prestige and power to these demons, such that today they are immensely powerful and basically rule the earth. So coming back to Jesus, another blasphemous name, it turns out that Jesus is derived from the Greek Iesus, I-E-O-S-U-S, which is in turn derived from Zeus, Z-E-U-S, which is a great Greek pagan deity, another of the demonic masterminds. At the time I wrote this original article that this is based on, I had been told that Jesus actually means aardvark, a form of pig, which has to be just about the biggest insult that one could give to Yahshua. But I've not managed to find independent corroboration. Iesus also means blessed of Zeus, which is a huge insult. This in turn points to a further adjustment in our vocabulary and some heartfelt repentance and deliverance. Folks, what I sincerely hope, if you've listened to the last one or two programs, if possibly if you've been following this series for the last year and a half, you will be aware of the fact that there is huge error around Jesus. Jesus is not God. Yeshua is not Yah. Yeshua is a mighty one, which is inaccurately translated God. He is not the mighty one, the almighty. He is a servant. He is a prophet. He is a human being. He could not have done what he did if he was not 100% human, a man filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. That's what allowed him to heal people. That's what allowed him to prophesy. He came to die that death, to provide us with a way of repenting of our sin without relying on any other human being. Continuing with these strong words, Christ, correctly translated, would be the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. So Christ technically refers to Yah. The next challenge relates to the word Christ. It is widely accepted that Christ relates to the anointing of the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah, that is, the pouring out or smearing or impartation of Father Yah's Spirit on and within those who believe. Thus Christ or Christos or Christoon or all the other Greek derivatives are not a name and not a title. They're a technical description of a spiritual state. From context, we discover that Christ has more than one meaning. Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, presented as Jesus Christ. The anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua, that is presented as Christ Jesus, and at times just Christ, as in, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is to say, I can do all things through the Spirit of Yah who strengthens me. and also my mighty one, God, will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by the anointing of his Spirit, Christ, that was upon Yeshua, Jesus. Philippians 4:19. So conventionally, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So let's just do that one again. I can do all things through the Spirit of Yah who strengthens me. My mighty one will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by the anointing of his Spirit that was upon Yeshua. Folks, can you see the difference in meaning? Can you see the difference of interpretation? This is at the absolute root of where the wrong thinking about Christ and Jesus comes from. Also, the anointed one, Christ, referring to Yeshua, as in Ephesians, and walk in love as the anointed one also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to Yah for a sweet-smelling savour. Thus we see that we can equate Christ with the Spirit of Yah and therefore with Yah at all times, but we can only equate Christ with Yeshua sometimes. Christ sometimes refers to Yeshua as in the anointed one, or if you like, the Messiah. But Messiah is a similar technical term to Christ and just as meaningless. It simply refers to a specific anointed one with the anointing coming from Yah. Note that Christ can also refer to false anointings, that is, demonic anointings, as in Matityahu, Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false anointed ones, Christ's, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is happening right now in this age. From this we see that there will be satanically and demonically generated anointings, and through the satanic and demonic there will be great signs and wonders that will deceive even the elect. As grace is withdrawn with regard to the errors among believers, we will see more and more of these demonically anointed people within the body of believers, or so-called body of so-called believers, performing works in the name of God, the Lord Jesus in Christ. As of 2010, I wrote, this is already happening. Folks, there are a hang of a lot of people out there who are serving Satan and think they're serving God, but God is an alias for Satan, as we've just seen. If you are not using the true names today, it is very, very likely that the satanic and demonic realm are playing games with you. So then I have to ask you, do you love enough to change? The critical question for you to consider right now, if you've not heard this teaching before, or if you've heard it but have not fully understood the consequences, do you love Yah and Yeshua enough to change? After I published the earlier version of this document, one of the people on the list wrote to me to say that he was moving from yahoo.com groups to another internet service provider at great personal cost. He had a very large Yahoo group with hundreds of articles published there, all of which he sacrificed in order to stop using Yahoo. Huge sacrifice. As I read the email, I saw Abba Yah, Daddy Yah, with tears of joy in his eyes. He was deeply moved at the love of this man. Do you love Abba Yah enough to make that sort of course correction? Folks, these are not small things. These are actually really, really critical things. If you sincerely want to serve the Almighty Creator, please call him by his true name. Please call Yeshua by his true name. Please let go of the wrong beliefs about Yeshua. There is so much wrong thinking, so much wrong teaching. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, yoga, Hindu, whatever. There are fragments of truth in all of those religions and huge chunks of error. So do you love enough to change? Do you love him enough to obey his commandment not to take his name in vain? Do you love him enough to get the name of Baal, the Lord, out of your mouth? Do you love him enough to stop worshipping God or God? Do you love Yeshua enough to call him by his correct name? Do you love Yah enough to stop using Christ to describe the anointing of his set-apart spirit? Do you love them both enough to call them by their correct names? It is a challenge. Not many people know these truths. Even fewer walk in them. There's so much that I've spoken about in the last year and a half on this radio program, and if you haven't heard it, all the broadcasts are available online for you to listen to. They're also on the website with transcriptions. Yah is truth. He wants us to walk in truth. One of the greatest gifts you can give him is to do everything you can to walk in truth all the time. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let go of tradition? Well, my father and my mother and my whatever always called him God. It's not good enough, folks. It's time to change. What happens if you don't change? There's a withdrawal of grace which started, as I say, in 2000. You potentially have a covenant with Satan, and you will almost certainly have a demonic infestation. You might say, but I've always used those names. My prayers have been answered. I've experienced dramatic miracles. I've been caught up to heaven. All in those names. How can they be so wrong? I really do not see the need to change. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Remember the words of Yah. How would you like it if your wife called you by the name of your greatest enemy? The truth is that Yah has had enough. His patience is exhausted. He's no longer willing to extend grace to those who have access to the truth. And if you have a computer and an internet connection, you do have access to the truth. Either way, now that you've heard this teaching, you are without excuse. Folks, Father is merciful and gracious. He has answered people's prayers because he loves them. He wants the best for them. Doesn't mean they're right. One of the big mistakes of the 90s was that highly anointed people thought because they were so highly anointed, it meant that they were without error. Couldn't be further from the truth. They had just been blessed. They had worshipped. They had drawn close. They had experienced miracles. They had been instrumental in the delivery of miracles. But their error caught up with them. And just about all of them have fallen away into great deception. So what do you choose to do? It is up to you to decide what you do. It is up to you to decide whether to gamble on this message being wrong, or whether, in love, you change while there's still time. I implore you, if the Almighty and Yeshua mean anything to you, it is time to change. It really is not that difficult. Yes, it requires a quality decision, and it'll take you months and possibly years before you become really comfortable with the new names. It took me quite a while. I went through my Bible as I was reading it and crossed out the wrong words and inserted the correct words. Get a copy of the version of the Bible called the Scriptures that I've referenced previously. You can get it on Amazon or another translation that contains the true names. There are a few available. The Scriptures is one that I really like. It's not entirely free of error. It's still got errors about Messiah and so forth, but it's a good translation. Adopt a discipline when praying, worshipping, or praising of substituting the correct names, even when others use the incorrect names. If you love Yah, please keep his commandments. The thing to realize is that the original Bible versions, the English versions, were translated under huge duress. People were being locked in jail, burned at the stake, beaten. And there was a limit to how much courage they could marshal to do away with names that were in common usage and translations that were commonly used. And they didn't have access to all the information we have, so they quite possibly didn't realize they were making a mistake at all, although, as we'll see in a minute, it's a bit difficult to understand that. Let's come back to names, including Yah. As previously stated, there are a large number of names and words in Hebrew that are based on the essential name Yah. This section lists a number of words that were encountered in an initial relatively superficial search in 2002, together with some basic information about each word. It is likely that there are more occurrences. In each case, a series of words are displayed from the Bible Soft PC Study Bible version 2.1G, the Interlinear Bible, together with extracts of notes from the Strong's and Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew lexicons. In most cases, interpretation is based on Brown Driver Briggs, which seems to be more aware of the reality of the sacred name. Now, the piece that I've just cited is not fully present in what I'm going to share with you because it's just too complex to try and communicate it verbally. There's all sorts of accents and things. The document is available on the website. Right at the top, there's a bar about the name of Father, and if you drill down into the child pages there, you will find detailed text with graphic images from PC Study Bible. Really important if you really want to understand how critical and how key the name of Yah has been in history. In what follows, there are cases where I've substituted Yah for Yahweh, since casual inspection of the Hebrew words and basic transliteration indicates that only the syllable Yah is present and not Yahweh. There are a few instances of words based on Yahweh where it seems appropriate I've offered a version of the word that emphasizes the existence of Yah. In the first stage of the analysis, words adjacent to Yah, Strong's number 3050, were examined. It was found that Jediah or Jedaiah 3048 appeared to be the first word which included Yah in that number range. It was then found that most of the words through to 3116 started with Yah or were perceived by Brown, Driver, and Briggs to be based on Yahweh, which the writer took to be Yah unless expressly otherwise noted. It is stressed that what follows is not intended to be definitive. Particularly anglicizations by myself are approximations that, unless expressly indicated as given by Yah, may be marginally in error. This is a complex subject. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, which is probably why I was able to do this, because I analyzed the text from an engineering analytic point of view, I guess you could say, rather than being masked by conventional wisdom, conventional teaching, conventional academia. What matters is what the words really say in the original Hebrew. So I'm going to go through that now in a moment. Once I was sensitized to the true name of the Almighty being Yah, Father arranged for me to obtain a copy of the Bible in the version known as the Scriptures, which I spoke about just now, published by the Institute of Scripture Research in South Africa and available from Amazon. It is now. It wasn't available from Amazon in those days. As I read this and referenced other sources, I became aware that the name of Yah permeates the Hebrew texts of the books prior to the ministry of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah. You may know him as Jesus Christ. There were names like Elijah, which is actually Eliyahu, which means Yah is my personal or beloved mighty one. Judah, which is actually Yahudah, which means praise Yah. Joshua, which is actually Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. There are over 100 names in the Bible that reference Yah in the Hebrew manuscripts. Jew is actually Yahudite, the descendants of Yahudah. So if one curses the Jews or speaks ill of them, one is cursing Yah as well. Words are referenced in what follows by their four-digit Strong's concordance number. What I'm going to take you through now is potentially a little bit dry, but I'd ask you to just to listen and internalize the way the name of Yah permeated the life of the Hebrew people in the time up to the life of Yahushua. As I say, see the detailed article on the website for images of the Hebrew text and further commentary. So Strong's 3048, Jediah or Jediah, Yah has known, is the meaning of that. 3052, Ya'ib, deliver, provide, give. 3053, Ya'ab, burden, lot, given by providence, in other words, given by Yah. 3054, Ya'ad, become a Yehudite, convert to Judaism, become a Jew. Remember that a Jew is a very bad, I don't know what to call it. It's not a transliteration. It's an anglicization and it's a twisted translation of Yahudite. Yahudite. That is the word that we call Jew. 3055, Yahud, beauty, Jehud. 3056, Yadai, whom Yah will place. 3057, Yahudiah, the feminine of Yahudi, in other words, a Jewess. In the King James, Yehudiah. 3058, Yahu, Yah is he, King James, Jehu, or Jehu. 3059, Yahu, Achaz, Yah has ceased, Jehoaz. 3060, Jehoash, given by Yah, Jehoash. 3061, Yahud, the territory of Yehudah, Judea, Judah. 3062, Yahudai, the descendants of Yehudah, the Jews. 7063, Yehudah, praise Yah, Judah. 3064, Yahudaim, descendants of Yehuda, Jews. 3065, Yahudai, a descendant of Yehuda, Jehudi. 3066, Yehudite, the language of the Yehudaim, in other words, the Jewish language, Hebrew language. 3067, Yehudite, feminine of Yehudai, Judas. 3068, Yahweh, correctly, Yah the eternally self-existing one, occurs in the King James Authorized Version as Lord 6,510 times, as God 4 times, And there's Jehovah four times. Folks, so important to get that. The one of the questions was, well, nobody knows the name Yah. Well, I hope by now you're seeing that if you get an accurate translation, you're going to find the name Yah all over the place in the Bible. 3069, Yehovah. Scribal device for 3068, Yahweh. This is a scribal device. It's not a separate word. It was used to assist with deliberate mispronunciation of the name of Yah Most High. In many years ago, the Jews decided that in order to keep the commandment of not taking the name of the Almighty in vain, they would stop using the name of the Almighty completely. And so they used the scribal device, amongst other things, to tell readers not to use the true name. And you find that they do that even today. They know the true name, but they never use it because it's supposedly too sacred. 3070, Yahweh Jireh, or Yahweh, you would probably know it as Jehovah Jireh. Yahweh provides. 3071, Yahweh Nissi, Yahweh is my banner. 3072, Yahweh Tzedenku, Yahweh is our righteousness. It's important to note here the express statement that Yah or Yahweh is our righteousness. This is challenging in the context of scriptures like Romans 8:22 and 26, 5:17 and 21, and 1 Corinthians 1:30, which are widely interpreted as indicating that Jesus Christ is our righteousness, or Yeshua Messiah is our righteousness, or Yeshua, the anointing of Yah, is our righteousness. It's actually the anointing that was upon Yeshua is our righteousness. Folks, another example of where incorrect translations, incorrect understanding of words has totally confused our understanding so that we do wrong things, we believe wrong things, we say wrong things. 3073, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh is peace. 3074, Yahweh Shammah, Yahweh is there. 3075, Yahazabad, Yah has endowed, Jehozabad. 3076, Yahushanan, Yah has graced, John. And many more words, such words, refer to the website. I'm not going to go through all of them in this broadcast. It's going to get a bit tedious. There's a document of some dozens of pages which goes into all this in a lot more detail. And then we come to 3091, Yahushua. Yah is salvation, translated as Joshua or Jesus. In 2002, I wrote, when I was preparing the document that this is based on, this particular name has presented me with an enormous challenge on two fronts. Firstly, since becoming aware that the name of Jesus was in fact Yeshua, I have steadfastly wanted to believe that the name Yeshua was not the same as the name of Joshua. I've also studiously avoided asking Yah about this. However, during the process of extracting these names and other data, it became apparent that the name traditionally translated Joshua in the books traditionally referred to as the Old Testament was exactly the same name given to the man we all know as Jesus. In other words, Yahushua, our Savior, did not have a unique name. He had the same name that had been given to thousands of other believers through the ages. On going before Yah on this matter, I was told, obviously, Yahushua could not have been given an exclusive name. It would have attracted too much attention to him and made life for Joseph and Mary totally unbearable. That's a direct quote of what Yah said to me. Secondly, up to now, I had been firmly, up to that point of writing, I had been firmly persuaded that the name Yahushua meant the salvation of Yah. However, having confronted the first point, it was then necessary to confront the second. That is, that the name Yahushua means Yah is salvation. In other words, Yahushua, through his name, points us towards Yah as our salvation, not himself. So Yahshua is not the Savior. Yah is the Savior. Yahshua just came to make it easier for us to access Yah's salvation. So in wrapping up, I would like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him right now. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you go back a few months in these broadcasts, I went through a series of programs on seven components of drawing close to Father. Did a separate program on prayer. There are a lot of prayers. There are a lot of things you can do. Drawing close to Father is not easy. This world is corrupt. It is controlled and managed by the satanic and demonic realm. They work through everybody. There are 100 billion demons, ancestor spirits in the world, and growing daily. And they're all working with billions of messengers, angels, satanic messengers, to corrupt mankind. If you want to get close to Father, it's hard graft, it's hard work, but the prize is worth it. High throne in heaven for eternity, with great authority, great prestige, it's worth it. Five key documents that are central to all of this, all main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? Five really important articles that I commend for your attention. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are on the radio page, and they are all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, there's over 1,000 web pages, over 9,000 A4 page equivalents on the website. Huge amount of information that I've gathered over 23, 24 years. Really advise you to make use of that as a resource. So to close, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, and I'd like to stress, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are. your age, your gender, your race, your height, your wealth, your education, the color of your skin. None of that matters. He wants you to become his friend right now. He wants you to seek a deep personal relationship with him starting right now. You can do it. Just get on your knees and say, Father, I recognize you exist. I recognize you want a relationship with me. Please help me to do it. And then download the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close to Yah. Put that into practice. Contact me. You can become close to Father. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me, I know.